Modest Mussorgsky here, evoking in music a painting by Victor Hartmann of the Catacombs of Paris, the underground cemetery. In the original image, there is little color contrast and three vertical forms, human figures providing some definition against the stone crypt with its linear elements, vertical top hats at a slight angle. His subject is a cemetery, too, and we have a sense that artist Herb Simon's interest is especially in vertical forms in his print titled A Generation of Leaves, with an overall mood similar to Victor Hartmann's, but with the shading, light and dark, more pronounced, drawing us in. The marble monuments here at various angles, as the ground has shifted over the years, providing more defined forms. We might hazard a guess, though we have no proof at all, that when young Herb Simon sat at the piano practicing in his early years, that he might have been aware of the shape and form of the keys themselves, and their color, black and white, and the sense of the varying pressure he needed to apply to make different gradations of sound. Printmaker Robert DeGroff reminds us in his Reflections to look at a genuine engraving. The paper itself bears witness to the immense pressure needed to print an engraving in the embossed edge on all four sides. The lines in an engraving range from thin, spidery lines, the thickness of a human hair, to thick worms of ink rising above the paper. The slightest change in pressure of the engraver's hand corresponds to variations of width and thickness of every printed line. The ink isn't flat, but sculptural, alive. Herb Simon moved from making musical forms, flirting only briefly with the notion of creating novels, short stories, and such literary forms, and went on to the visual arts, where he has delighted in exploring form in many ways, textures, tension, tone, in his sculpture, drawing, and printmaking. There is a current exhibition of his work in Kingston at the Main Street Gallery through November 7th, titled A Retrospective of Works on Paper. Herb Simon paid a visit to the WBIA studios to look back and talk about his current interests. What about the distinction between the two-dimensional and the three-dimensional and now back to the two-dimensional? Is that something that you've been curious about, or is it a practical thing, and how does it balance in your work?
Well, I began as a painter. But then I'd taken many drawing courses in the various art schools that I went to. And then I took a few printmaking courses, too. But basically, up until about 59 to 60, I was involved with painting. But drawing is something that I've always done. I mean, a lot of the prints that I've made have been based on drawings that I made. Some of the drawings that I made in New York back, you know, in the 60s when I was living there. And I've used those as the basis for an etching or an intaglio.
Many of the young artists who sit in the chair where you sit today suggest that they've come through art school and drawing was not emphasized when they were taking their courses. And it seems to me that it would be fundamental for helping artists learn to see and get a sense of form and volume and so forth. Yeah. How do you conceive of drawing in that sense, as a tool for learning?
Well, when I went to art school, drawing, life drawing, was something that we did and wanted to do. And, of course, I don't know really what goes on in art schools now. The climate is so different from when I was there. But I know when I was at Wilkes, in addition to teaching sculpture and three-dimensional design, I also taught drawing and I taught life drawing classes. And I think It's just an enjoyable thing to do. There are a lot of artists who are working today who really don't use the sort of traditional tools. They're into other aspects of art. But as I say, when I was at Wilkes, I taught in a fairly traditional manner, the way that I was instructed.
When you think about artists who mean something to you, whether it's regionally or in the Western tradition, whose drawings do you enjoy just because they're wonderful works?
Well, certainly Dürer was a great master of engraving and etching and everything you can think of. Rembrandt, of course. Picasso and Matisse, wonderful printmakers and drawers. And Edward Hopper was a printmaker. He learned printmaking from an Australian artist, but he did a lot of scenes of, I'm speaking of Hopper now, he did a lot of scenes of New York. And so some of my early drawings that I converted into etchings were things that I did in New York when I was living there in the 60s.
And we know there's not just one way of printing, and you've mentioned a number of different terms that refer to printing. What are you drawn to? What have you been largely doing? Certainly it depends on what you have access to, doesn't it?
Well, in the past, I've done quite a lot of relief printing, linoleum relief printing, and a certain amount of silk screen printing. That's something that you don't need to have a really complicated equipment for. Then the etching, I think the first etching that I did was, I was at Colorado College back in, when was it, the 50s sometime, and I took a, it was a required course, and we did intaglio, we did etching. The teacher was Mary Chenoweth, was her name. And then when I was in New York at the Brooklyn Museum Art School, I remember there was a live drawing class that I took with Gábor Pedardy, who's a very famous printmaker. But at that time, they weren't offering printmaking at the Brooklyn Museum, but later he went on to Yale. You know, when I was living in New York, I would draw on the subways and, you know, wherever I was. So I have lots of material to draw from. And then when I came out here, I sort of made a transition in my sculpture from working more abstractly and more in terms of modules to working based on landscapes and objects and sometimes portraits. And so that dichotomy between working abstractly and working representationally, that followed into the printmaking that I did. The thing about printmaking is it's very much, especially etching, it's very much drawing, only instead of using a pencil on paper or charcoal on paper, you have a metal plate. Usually it's metal. I use copper, and you put a ground on it, and then you draw with a stylus with a metal tool, and you just draw a line. You're just like you're working, and wherever you draw a line, you're getting down to the metal, and then you put it into acid for various lengths of time. And the acid does what they call the bite. It eats into the metal. And the longer you keep it in the acid, the blacker, the deeper the tone will be. So etching or intaglio is very much similar to drawing.
Well, it sounds like when you were talking about being in New York and drawing the subway, and then some of the things about highways.
I like urban things. I like industrial things. I've done regular landscapes and things, but it seems to me that the thing that I go back to is, in this area, one of the things that really struck me as really striking were the breakers. There were still some of them left. And I did a number of sculptures based on breakers. I think of them as almost like a huge piece of sculpture. But then I did etchings of, you know, that same subject. Another thing that I like is signage on the highway. You know, like the road may be slippery or the deer crossing and things of that sort. These have been subjects of a lot of my etchings.
And what about color, Herb? You began as a painter and you worked sculpturally and you were drawn, as you suggest, to the breakers, which were stark and black usually.
Yeah. It's not a major part of my printmaking. It makes things much more complicated. I mean, you know, I've done etchings where I've worked with three different plates and three different colors. There's a way of working on one plate, which is viscosity printing, which I've seen demonstrated, but it's you have to have all sorts of different types of rollers and everything, and I just haven't gone into it. So I used all sorts of different inks. I don't just paint in black. I paint in Prussian blue, in green, in red. And sometimes I will have two plates. Maybe one will be red and one will be black on a print, you see.
In addition, we know there's the mono print, so we're talking about one mono, yeah. Right? But there is a sense that prints can be multiple editions.
Yes.
Do you work that way?
Yeah, well, a lot of my prints, I just make a few what are called artist proofs. I was advised by Robert Newman, who owns a gallery in New York, the old print shop where I have some of my work. He felt that an edition should be of about 35. But he said, you don't need to print the whole 35. When we need a print, we'll have a few of them. If you need more, we'll get. So I've done something like, I think, 582 prints since 2003. And if I'd made 35 prints of it, they would be piled up to the ceiling. So frequently I will just have two or three. They'll call artist proofs. And they're perfectly good. Or in various states of the print. Sometimes you'll be working on a print and you're at the, what's called the first state, and you print that. But then you'll make changes. That's not like the first state has become worthless. It's just there was an earlier stage. And so that can have two, three, four, five states, or called states. In this show at the Main Street Gallery, there are frame prints. There are about 41, I think there are. Prints, drawings, and collage. And there are a lot of unframed things. And this show, it's called A Retrospective of Works on Paper. It runs through October and the first week of November. Even after the show ends, there will still be some of the works that will be retained there. And certainly the works unframed will be certainly retained by the Main Street Gallery.
And how does collage figure in?
I have five of them in the show. These are some things that I did in New York back in the 60s. They were selling reproductions of old master prints right on the sidewalk or something. There might be, you know, a Renoir, a Picasso, a Rembrandt. And they were selling it, you know, they were fairly large and in color. And so I would maybe buy three of that same, say, like the Gilbert Stuart, George Washington. I got four prints. Then I collaged them. I cut them up and assembled them with scotch tape on the back. And then eventually I had them scanned. When I came out here, I had them scanned by Bob Lisa in Tunkhannock. And so they're on archival paper. And there are two of them that are Renoir. I call it Renoir Revisited. And two Picassos. And then one called Four Georges, where the four Gilbert Stuart pieces. They're collage digital prints.
What about the papers themselves, then?
I use a very good paper. Usually it's either Arches, or Arches, as they would say in French, or Reeves, RFK Reeves. And these are papers that 100 years from now should look good. Whereas, I mean, a newspaper, after a few weeks, after a month, it's already beginning to get yellow because of the wood pulp in that cheap type of paper. So this is a very good French and Italian paper, which I hope will be around for a long, long time.
Say you'd like to explore an image that you've done as a drawing. Say you come across something that you did earlier in New York,
yeah,
and you'd like to explore it some more. What is it that determines your choice of medium when you're trying, yeah, to interpret an image like that?
Most recently, I've been doing a series of, none of these are in the show because they're things that I've been doing in the last month. But I call them topographical fantasies. And they're working with geometry and with impossible three-dimensional situations, like the surface of a star with crevices on it, or a thing where everything is done in line, and you can get a very three-dimensional sense of line just by the way you employ it. But frequently in the past, if I was working from some subject that was local, like a breaker, I would photograph it, and then I would use that photographic as the basis. But I would do a lot of editing of the photograph. I'm not trying to make the print look like a photograph. I want it to look like an etching. But photography is something that frequently is the first stage, because sometimes you'll see something and it's not, you can't set up and sit there and draw. You're in a situation where it's just impossible to do, whereas with your digital camera, you can do it.
It sounds like you are interested in exploring form then, Herb, all across the genres, right?
Yes.
Whether it be sculptural or the drawing or the topographical fantasies that you've just explored.
I guess so. I guess form has been a more important aspect of my work than, say, color. But of course, the form, the thing that I like about two-dimensional work is basically that illusion that you can get of space with perspective or with size differences and everything. And that's, of course, has been around for thousands of years, but it's still something that I find very interesting and something that I like to achieve.
Did you use drawing then a lot to prepare your sculptural work?
I would do frequently wouldn't start with a drawing. You can't really improvise too much with sculpture. If you're working with pieces of metal, you order a piece of square tubing from Bloomsburg Metal, and you just can't decide, oh, I don't think I want this. So you have to sort of know in it, because the expense of the material is a big consideration. So you sort of have to know in advance what you're going to do with it. It's not like you can throw it away.
What is your studio situation now that you are working primarily this way? Have you scaled back in terms?
Well, what I've done is I sold all of the sculpture equipment, the TIG welder, the other equipment that I needed, a sander and various things, and a lot of welding tools and things of the sort. And then I bought a very good press, Conway. It's Conway. It's a press made in Whitehall, Michigan, which is on the eastern shore of Michigan. And there are sand dunes, apparently, along the lake that are moving towards the east. But this is, it's a, my printer is the maximum width that I would get would be 24 inches. You know, when I was doing linoleum relief prints in New York, and I was living in a walk-up on the fourth floor. I didn't have any press or anything. I used a wooden spoon. I made a rubbing, basically. I put the print down. I put the plate down that was inked and put a piece of rice paper on it and rubbed it. It's called a rubbing. And I have all of those linoleum blocks. They print beautifully, even though I was working with them in the 60s. It's ancient history. So I get beautiful prints from these same things which I made originally with a wooden spoon. But anyway, I've sort of still have some fairly large sculptures in my studio. And of course, I have a lot of work in my house and the garage and even rented space. But the studio now is all for printmaking.
When an artist has a show that's titled Retrospective, I would imagine it must be an eye-opener sometimes as you're pulling work together to make part of a show like that.
Yeah.
Did you have any insights this time?
Well, anyway, in a sense, when I was thinking of the frame pieces that I wanted to put in, I was looking at some, and there were some drawings that I had done back in the late 50s, early 60s, which I'd completely forgotten about. And it was only when I uncovered them, and quite a lot of these pieces in this show have never been exhibited before.
And when you saw and rediscovered those pieces, did you recognize and respect the exploration that you were engaged in at that time and say, well, that was an interesting time for me?
I don't know. It sort of brings back the past. Like, I did some drawings in a bar on Second. I was living in the East Village. And I did, one day I stopped in this, it was a Ukrainian bar. The neighborhood used to be very Slavic. It's no longer that way. But I did some drawings in a bar on Second Avenue. And then I made etchings of them. They're all in line. And it really brings back a period, you know, of the years that I lived in New York and then coming out here and everything.
When you were little and in grade school, were you drawing?
I didn't do that much. I took piano for years, but I wasn't really serious about music as a career. Then I began reading a lot. And there was a period when I thought maybe I should do something with writing. But when I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Boston and on an aircraft carrier that was being decommissioned. It had come around from California through the Panama Canal up to Boston, and I was, you know, on the whole trip and everything. And I started going to museums in Boston. And then later, when they sent me to a DE, a destroyer escort, in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And then it was when I started making drawings, basically, of the harbor of New York. None of these are in the show, but that was sort of the beginning. So it really brings back, when I look at these things, it's almost like a diary.
Artist Herb Simon, who is retired from the art faculty at Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre, speaking with us about his drawings, prints, and collage pieces featured in the current exhibition titled A Retrospective of Works on Paper at the Main Street Galleries, 370 Pierce Street in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. The show will run through Wednesday, November 7th. For more information, on the web, MainStreetG.com, MainStreetG.com. That's an exhibition titled A Retrospective of Works on Paper, featuring the work of artist Herb Simon, and the show will be running through November 7th, Wednesday, November 7th, at the Main Street Galleries, 370 Pierce Street in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. Hours Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., MainStreetG.com, MainStreetG.com.